Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Okay, all right. Chip chair and a prayer. That's all you can ask for. Chip chair and a prayer. Yeah, we might get our heart broken again. We'll worry about that when it happens. Right now, we're headed back to Brooklyn for a Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals. A trip to that on the line. Bucks get the 104-89 victory over the Brooklyn Nets at Pfizer Forum last night. Deer District Wild, Pfizer crowd, you got to do better. I will rail on you a little bit later. Ah, oh, man. Stand up. It's third quarter. You're up 10. Stand up. Fourth quarter. Stand up. Cheer. End this game. I'll let them hang around. Thankfully, the Bucks did not let them hang around. At one point, going on a 14-0 run, in a two-minute span in the fourth quarter. It was like from the eighth minute to the sixth minute. You know, this was a game that the Bucks eventually did win, yes. The Nets never led. The Bucks had a five-point lead. It would go up to 10. It would come back down to 5. And then they just decided there was a two-minute stretch where they just went all in and made everything. And Giannis had some dunks that were exclamation point dunks. Chris Middleton was tremendous, absolutely tremendous last night. If you watched that game last night, and that was the first Bucks game that you've ever watched, aren't you coming away thinking, oh, yeah, the two-time MVP on that team is Chris Middleton. Giannis is a nice, interesting, you know, unique player, but Chris Middleton, that guy's the real deal. 11 of 16 shooting last night, 5 for 8 on threes. Nearly perfect at the line, 11 for 12, 10 boards, 38 points for Chris Middleton, who, you know, this series has not been KD versus Giannis. It's been, can Middleton keep up the shooting with Kevin Durant? And that's what he did last night. Tremendous. Giannis had a great night, too. The best stat, let me look at Giannis's stats real quick. 12 for 20, okay, that's pretty good. 6 of 10 from the line. All right, Giannis, that's fine. A little under his average. 17 boards, that's pretty impressive. 30 points, okay, nice. 0 for 0, 3-point shooting. That's the most impressive stat. There you go. There you go, freak. Don't shoot threes. Toby! Good morning, Toby!
He didn't settle. I loved watching him last night. He didn't settle. Even one time he decided he was gonna shoot it on a mid-range jumper fadeaway, and then he realized, wait a second, Middleton's feeling it. Let me give it to him. Middleton knocks it down. Loved watching Giannis attack the rim last night.
Oh, yeah, that shot where, Giannis went up. He, like, and it was the longest you could go without passing it. It really looked like he was going to shoot it and then threw it over to Middleton, and Middleton dropped it down. And that was just a tremendous night, a tremendous play from Adetokounmpo, but really a smart decision and a great play from Chris Middleton. So we will get into this game. We will break it all down. Still a lot of things that happened that are very, very bad, very bad. Jrue Holiday, 1-for-10 shooting threes. A lot of Drew Bledsoe jokes, all deserved. The Bucks as a whole, they were 5 for 8 shooting threes. The rest of the team, 2-for-25. Very bad. Very, very bad. Bryn Forbes didn't have it. Connaughton, I don't know, Connaughton, what are you doing?
Someone needs to let him know that he's not part of the big three of the Bucks.
he was 0-for-5. The offense was still, like, all over the place. Random. Got to play random. At one point, I think it was the third quarter, it was the second half, Giannis has the ball up top again because, you know, always. And I'm like, where is Jrue Holiday? Okay, he's like, camped out in the corner waiting for a pass maybe. But then him and Bud are, like, having a conversation. Like, Bud, hey, let Drew's on the court, man. What are you talking to him for? Even if Drew's barking at you, like, don't just engage in a conversation. PJ Tucker, oh, he engaged in a conversation at one point with Bud, and that was, like, almost what sparked their 14-0 run. There's this video. I retweeted it. It's at Winks Thinks. You can just, I mean, just search PJ Tucker and Bud. And Tucker is, like, in Bud's face the way that he's in KD's face. And Bud looks like he just was told his puppy died. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like PJ Tucker's like, shut up. I'm going to do what I want.
You know, it's really embarrassing. But that's the way, I'm telling you, if they're going to win game 7, I know, guys, I know. We're just delaying the heartbreak. We can all think it, but whatever. Hey, the season could be over today. Instead, we got, like I said, a chip, chair, and a prayer. That's all you ever need. Give them a chance. I'd rather have the chance and get heartbroken than be heartbroken right now. Delay the heartbreak. You know, I may not even make it till Saturday. I'm an unhealthy guy. You know, maybe this is the last game I ever see. Boy, I wish I didn't say that because sometimes people say stuff like that. And then it comes true, and you're like, well, that's eerie. And now I'm paying attention to it, so now it's going to be more eerie. Oh, boy, not good. Anyway, I do not think that will be the last Bucks win I ever see. I don't know what happens on Saturday, though. Saturday night, these guys are going to square off. The first line I saw was Nets 1.5-point favorites. It's going to be very even. I wonder very strongly if all of a sudden Kyrie will be able to play. And you've seen a version of this Nets team, KD and Kyrie. You've seen a version of this Nets team, KD and Harden. Are you going to finally see the full complement of guys on Saturday night, KD, Kyrie, and Harden? And the Nets are able to be the Brooklyn Nets that scared us this entire season, the prospect of what they can do. So we don't know anything on that at this point. Again, before Game 5, we did not think Harden was going to play the day before. He was upgraded to doubtful, which is like 100% chance not playing to 99% chance not playing. But then he got updated to, oh, no, he's playing. So I don't know what the Nets are going to do. I don't know if there's going to be some gamesmanship to it. We could see a game-time decision. Even if they have no intent of playing Kyrie, I'm sure that you'll hear today or tomorrow, Nets are more optimistic Kyrie might play. And then sometime tomorrow, Nets are calling it a game-time decision. They're going to let him work out. Just to put that prospect out there would be smart to do on their behalf rather than just rule him out as they've done the last couple of games. But the Bucks do get the 104-89 victory. An impressive win. They never trailed. There were times where you thought, that they were going to blow it. I know that this game took on like similar game five vibes where they had a lead and then it slipped away. But again, the guy that did not let that happen was Chris Middleton. And I jokingly said last night, you know, for 5 years we've talked on this show, is Chris Middleton a true number two? The phrase true number two, a true number two. Can he be a true number two? Last night, he was the number one. I mean, there was no question about it. Last night, he was the engine that got the Bucks going. And if you think about Chris Middleton on this team, you think about, all right, well, who of anybody on this team, who are you most confident in that can get you a bucket? And you'd say, well, probably Chris. Who's the most confident in with the last second shot on the line? Games on the line. Who would you be the most confident in? That'd probably be Chris. Who do you want at the line if you need somebody to knock down two at the line? Oh boy, let's see. Yeah, you know what? That'd probably be Chris. Chris Middleton and Giannis. Look, Giannis has been the two-time MVP, but Middleton was the MVP last night. Absolutely was. And they're going to need that version of Chris Middleton to show up in Game 7. Now, his home and road splits are much more favorable at home. That happens with a lot of these bench guys, guys 6 through 9. The Jeff Greens of the world play better at home than they do on the road. But you're going to need home Middleton to show up on Saturday if you're going to have any shot of winning, because they don't win this game last night without him. Drew is not good. Giannis was Giannis, again, but he's not going to make some of those shots that Middleton makes. So a lot of times we think that Middleton and these guys have to space the floor and feed it to Giannis, but last night it had to be Giannis to draw guys in and kick it back out to Chris. Chris Middleton absolutely was the number one option last night.
Yeah, he absolutely played out of his mind, played a great game. You're going to need that in Game 7 out of Chris. You're going to need something more out of Drew Holiday. James Harden looked a lot better last night than he did in Game 5. He still wasn't great, but he was a lot better than he was. So you're going to need something out of Chris than what he's given you on the road so far. And you're going to need something out of Drew Holiday. At least one of them has to have a game kind of like Chris did last night, maybe not to that degree, but putting up 25 to 30 points on an efficient shooting night to go with Giannis's 35 points. You're going to need that in Game 7 because James Harden's probably going to come out and score 20 points. He was feeling better. He wasn't able to sprint as much, but he was still able to do way more than he did in Game 5. So you're going to need something out of one of those two sidekicks to Giannis. Giannis is going to have a great game, but you're going to need something from one of those other guys.
Still some questions. Again, where was Bobby Portis? What's the deal there? Even in scrub time, they didn't even put him in. I guess that is more of an insult to injury if you do put him in scrub time. Nets said the opportunity to do that with DeAndre Jordan again last night, and they did not. A lot of these games, it's been a good series, but a lot of these games have gone to empty the bench time. At least four of them have gone to empty the bench time. Even though it was a 19-20-point lead, there's 4.5 minutes left, 5 minutes left. I was a little surprised Nash pulled the plug as soon as he did. And you know what he's thinking. He's thinking, well, my guys just played 48 and 46 the day before. The odds are against us to come back and win this game. Why give them four more minutes of wear and tear if I don't need to? So I'm going to move ahead to Game 7. But, you pull the plug at like 2 minutes or 2.5. I was surprised he pulled it at 5, Toby.
Yeah, I mean, that's the second game where he's done it quite early. Like, I agree.
I mean, I wasn't complaining. I was just surprised.
It's still weird to see a NBA coach throwing in the towel with 4.5, 5 minutes left, especially with a scorer like KD that can put up numbers in a hot minute, or just a second, you know? Like, he could have tied that game up if he really got going, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's weird for him to throw in the towel, but yeah, at the same point, KD just came off a game where he didn't even come out of the game, so.
Well, what happens in game seven? That's going to be the big question. I think if you're the Nets, you look at a lot of things and say, I think if you're a Nets fan, you probably feel better than a Bucks fan. A Bucks fan right now, we've got the momentum, and now we've kind of got like nothing to lose because now it's game seven on the road.
We were expected to lose this series. Even if we do lose, we're all going to be pumped up because Bud's going to get fired, which he maybe even got fired during the fourth. Like, P.J. Tucker could be the coach today. I don't know. Seemed like it. Bud's still there, and he's still employed, but I don't know. Who are the players listening to right now? P.J. Tucker or Mike Budenholzer? I mean, the players taking over this ship, that's how it stays guided. Bud's a terrible coach. I can't even express into words how bad he is. I just don't understand it. Bud, you're coaching for your life, and you make no adjustments. Yeah, you're not going to implement a whole new offense in 48 hours, but still, your team, the same lack of urgency. I mean, they were scoring, but if Middleton doesn't have a hot night, you could still lose this game, and we're saying, well, he didn't do this. He didn't put Giannis on KD. He didn't play Portis. He still didn't do this, and Bud would rightfully be fired. It was the players last night. It was Middleton finally taking over. He only had 2 points in the first quarter, so he eventually took over. The third quarter was the big one for him. I think him and Giannis, I think they might have both had 18 in that quarter. I'll have to look at the sheets again, but he had a big quarter, and Giannis did too. But it was Middleton taking over. It was P.J. Tucker taking over. I mean, the thing with Giannis last night is Middleton and Tucker were the leaders of that team, and Giannis is still Giannis. But the big playoff moment, I saw a conversation yesterday that every superstar in these playoffs, even if they're eliminated or not, they've had their playoff game. They've had their big moment. And I don't think we've seen that out of Giannis yet, even though he had the exclamation point dunk and was much better inside and did not take any threes and was shooting closer to the basket, the closest he shot throughout the playoffs. It was Middleton's night. So Giannis was effective and very good, but this is a game we're going to remember for Chris Middleton and even P.J. Tucker more than we do for Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're giving Giannis a lot of hard time for putting up 30 every night. He's doing what he's being asked. I think we got to stop thinking of Giannis in terms of what Kevin Durant is doing, because he's not Kevin Durant. It's so easy to do in this series because he's going up against KD, and KD's doing crazy things, but he's not KD. So let's stop putting that expectation on him. He had a game last night where he finally did what we've all been asking. Stop shooting threes. Stop using the ball on the perimeter all the time and get yourself inside. And that's what he did last night. And it allowed Chris that opportunity to work on the perimeter, get those looks that he was able to knock down last night. You're hoping that Drew Holiday figures it out too alongside that. So you're right that Giannis didn't have his signature playoff moment if they do get knocked out in game seven. But at the same point, he's had a pretty good series. We're giving him an awful hard time for him going out every night and putting up a really good stat line.
Yeah, we are. He's a two-time MVP, though, and I think we're expecting him to play more like an Embiid, a Jokic, or a Durant. I mean, there's a lot. But the thing that they kept saying yesterday was he's a unique player. You can't really compare him to Embiid or Jokic. He's not those guys. But then he's not KD, and he's not Harden. He's not Kyrie. He's a different kind of guy. Last night, the guy that they needed was Chris Middleton. He's the guy that stepped up, and the Bucks move on to a game 7. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. This feeling has come and gone a little bit the last 2 weeks, but it is back.
Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. Got Bucks lust.
Ooh. Let's talk about it. 799-1250. Game 7, Saturday night.
We vibe supreme virtuosity. A supernatural, unflappable command of stealth, power, strength. This whole wide world believes in us. Shout, I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust. I love my Milwaukee Bucks. Got Bucks lust.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12:50 a.m. The Fan, Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer here with you. And that's who we want to hear from is you, Bucks Nation. Bucks fans, where'd you watch the game? Who'd you watch it with? Did you tailgate? If you did watch it at Fiserv, if you were there, I do need you to defend yourself because I don't know what we do. I'm sure you were loud. I'm sure you were, and the people next to you were probably loud too. But overall, I mean, it just does not come through like some of these other places. You watch playoff games in the past in Oklahoma City and even like Portland. These crowds would die for their team. And I know there's a history and a heartbreak and there's a lot of nervous energy watching these games. I understand that. But don't if you're at the game, then don't go to the game. Because then the players are going to pick up on that. I mean, there's no reason when Giannis is at the line, I should be hearing the 7 Nets fans there counting to 10. There's absolutely no reason for that. And in the fourth quarter, like you're up 10, get up and cheer and try to get him up 15-20. I just think we're too reactionary as a fan base here as a crowd. I'll say this about Wisconsin sports fans. The most passionate, dedicated and loyal fans that you would find anywhere. I'm not pandering about that. I absolutely mean that. I live it. We've got rooms in our house that are dedicated to these teams. Hey, you want to see my man cave? It's like every piece of Packer memorabilia that you found at St. Vinny's that you could ever even imagine. And the whole thing is decked out. Half of you probably named your kid after Robin Yount. We are so loyal and so dedicated to our teams. You're listening right now. But when it comes to us at the games, we are just useless. We could be so much better. I'll put a positive spin on it. We could be so much better. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just in awe of how great we are as fans here. And then so shocked that when we go to the games, we just like sit there and wait for something good to happen before we nervously cheer. I know, like last night, I didn't really cheer until maybe Middleton hit a three and he got fouled pretty late. And I finally got up and I was like, yes, okay, yes. But I didn't go to the game. If you're going to go to the game, you need to be berserk. You need to be, I mean, wear the t-shirts they give you, first of all. Anyway, I ramble. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Bucks force a game 7. Trell's on the north side. What's up, T?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Trill.
I'm disappointed in you, Bart. You know, you talked about the fans and how loud they are. I can't believe that you're feeding into this narrative about Giannis. Like, literally, the man is averaging 30 and 13. For some reason, it's not. Maybe some of his points in some of the previous games weren't the way that people thought he should have scored them, or however you want to take it. But the man has had 5 30-point games out of 6 games, and one game, which was game 2, where they got blew off the map, where he had 18 and 11. So that was his only down game of the series. Every other game he's been 30 or above, and he's got at least 12 rebounds or above for each game. I mean, if Shaq is getting those numbers, he's having a monster series. He's had series like that in the finals, and they said, you know, he's won the finals MVP, and Shaq dominated. But now, for some reason, Giannis has to do more. Why would he have to do more? That was the reason for us getting Drew Holiday. That was the reason for everybody complaining for Chris Middleton to play better. Guess what? Chris Middleton stepped up to the plate and played really big. Drew Holiday at least matched what he did in the regular season with 21. So,
well, Drew was bad last night. He was 1 of 10 from 3. Bad.
But he still got his numbers. I mean, in previous years, Eric Bledsoe would be bad and have 6 points.
That's a good point.
And couldn't play in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, Drew didn't shoot good. He hasn't shot well the whole series. He hasn't really played all that well. He's had timely buckets, meaning that he wasn't scared of the moment like Bledsoe was. So that first bucket to get us our first win, when he spent and got that layup, that was a big bucket to get on the board as far as winning a game after you got demolished those first 2 games. So he's had some big plays. Only thing I need from them in game 7, I need Budenholzer to stay out the way. I need Drew Holiday to give me the 19-20 or close to it that you gave me all season. I don't need Chris Middleton to score 38. Chris, if you can give me 22-23, close to what your average is during the season, and Giannis is going to do the rest. With help and with them playing defense, Giannis might have a 40-point game in game 7. He might have that. This might be his defining game where he gets, you know, 40 or, you know, 38 or something like that, or whatever it may be the case. But let's stop. Like, it seems like the national media is trying to write his obituary before he's actually dead. And I've been listening to it all series, and I'm just sick of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that, Trell. Thanks for the call. I'm saying last night, if you had never seen a Bucks game and you're like, well, who's the MVP? My vote at first would be Middleton. Middleton was the guy last night. Giannis has been very good. He is scoring his points, but the clutch guy has been Middleton. When you need a bucket, it's been Middleton, at least last night. And, you know, you make good points about Drew. I still think he's been disappointing in the series, but at least he can play on the floor. Giannis, their best stretch last night was that 14-0 run, and Giannis was playing more of the 5. He's playing more of the center role. So I was trying to figure out last night, what kind of lineup do you go with in game 5, or game 7, I should say, 7-game series? And I want to see Giannis essentially play center, because I want to see Brooke Lopez. He can't. This is not his series.
If you're gonna play Brooke, you've got to play him in the post on offense because he's a liability on defense. And last night, the Nets were matching up James Harden with him at times because they knew he wouldn't go into the post. So absolutely, if you're not gonna play Brooke in the post on the offensive end, he needs to sit on the bench.
Yeah, or play the 2. I mean, because that's what he does.
Yeah, absolutely. Or play Bobby Portis.
Brooke Lopez plays like a shooting guard.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
It's frustrating when you got them matching up James Harden, knowing that James Harden isn't going to have to work on the defensive end. That was another frustrating thing from last night is, where was the offensive attack of James Harden? It happened for like the first couple possessions, and then it went away.
799-1250. I'm just looking at Twitter. I'm not kidding. Every 45 seconds, I'm either getting a DM or a tweet asking where Ram is, because Middleton was so good. Ram, you are a superstar. You are a superstar. You certainly are. Pete says, the fans are reactionary. Who do you think they take after? Sports radio is the most reactionary outlet in the state, and the fan base takes after it. That's not true. That makes sense. Sports radio, you know me, those people that were there last night? Look, I try to think that I'm a superstar, too, but you know me, those people that were there last night listen to sports radio? How come there's sports radio in every single market in the country? And we're a quiet crowd. Brandon's in Shorewood was at the game. Am I being too hard on Fiserv?
No, you're not. And it was funny because I was with my wife, and even during the whole like pregame, like with the fire and the, you know, the lights down, it's literally like everybody was like holding their hand to the person next to them with their butt clenched. Like, just scared and worried and not confident and pissed off that they had lost the last game after that lead and they weren't going to see a series win. It was a really, like, quiet, nervous, cautious, ready to get my heart broken kind of crowd. And then not until later in the game in the third and fourth were people actually getting fired up. It was such a, oh, crap, what am I going to see? When is it going to happen again kind of a feel to it. It wasn't like a electric, like just loud, like everyone standing. It was kind of like a, all right, let me go get my nachos and I'll come back and then I'll kind of wait and see what happens. It did have that feeling even live too.
I think in the past, I want to be cautious because I have taken this approach before and people really do hate it when I say the fans weren't good enough. But I've watched the Nets game. Game five, the Nets don't have fans. None of them are real. And when they're down 11, they're like going crazy trying to get the team back into it. Bucks fans, up 11, we're not. And I think a big part of it is because, Brandon, we are so nervous all the time because we do get our heart broken all the time. So we have the right to be nervous. I just wish we could find 16,000 people that – you know, could put that aside for 2 hours and cheer like crazy.
Even when you were walking through the Deer District before the game, it wasn't like the energy just wasn't there in the Deer District. It was people were just kind of quiet, walking around, like drinking their beer. It wasn't like a loud, raucous energy even entering into the arena.
Well, maybe that'll change if people go down there on Saturday. Brandon, thanks for the call for sure. Because I remember after game five when they beat the Celtics to go to the Eastern Conference Finals against Toronto. I was down there for that game, and it was bananas. So I think we need to get back to that. But I do think that, you know, we as a state, we love our teams. Nobody loves their teams harder. We're nervous, and it shines through the TV, and then we're already nervous at home, and it's like, come on, we need 1% of you guys that root for this team to go to the game and just be very, very loud. And maybe that'll change if we do get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which there's an opportunity now to host game one if you win game seven. Hawks and Sixers play tonight. Hawks could wrap that thing up at home. I still have the sense that goes seven, but I don't know, man. The Sixers have been blowing leads, bad leads, making the Bucks 17-point blown lead look like nothing. So the Sixers have their work cut out for them in Atlanta tonight. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Bucks beat the Nets in game six. Chris Middleton, very good. 42 minutes for him. 11 of 16 shooting. 5 of 8 for threes. 38 points. 10 boards. He did something last night that I don't think has ever been done in the playoffs. So just like Kevin Durant did the other night, going 45-plus, 10-plus, and 10-plus, Middleton, here we go. Middleton did this a few times. It's been done. He had 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals in one game. The other people to do that are Jimmy Butler, Gary Payton, Patrick Ewing, and Michael Jordan in the playoffs, having at least 35 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, and 5 steals. So he was not just good as a scorer, he was good everywhere. Chris Middleton, big night for him. Charles, right about Giannis. Giannis, hey, he got you 30 points. 30 points and 17 boards. Middleton, I think, was the star last night, but Giannis, I mean, that's great. You get that from those two guys again, you're winning game seven. Drew, 21 points. Still confident. The big mistake on him was he kept taking too many threes, 1 of 10. And all these guys that were taking threes. The Bucks, not named Chris Middleton, as I mentioned, were 2 of 28. Two of 25 for three. Brooke Lopez, I mean, that's what I say about that. PJ Tucker, I don't even look at his offensive stats. He's just trying to guard Kevin Durant, and he had a great press conference last night. Do want to hear some of that before 10 o'clock at least. I don't know when we'll get to that. Connaughton came in 22 minutes, 0 for 5. Bryn Forbes just has not got it going this series. But I'll take the trade-off. Bryn Forbes hasn't gotten it going. I thought one of these nights there'd be a night where he, because in the Heat series, he had two nights where he had 20-plus points, and he was making everything. He looked like Steph Curry one game. But if the trade-off is he's bad and then the Nets don't get that out of Joe Harris, I will take that trade-off because Joe Harris has been struggling big time for the Nets.
Joe Harris has been awful in this series, and Nets fans got to be really disappointed in what he's been able to do in this series for sure. I really liked what Bud did in the fact that, and Doris Burke pointed it out at the end of the game, that really only six guys played significant minutes in that game. Forbes, up till garbage time, had only played like 6 or 7 minutes, but basically it was Connaughton and the starters, and that's what they rolled with, and I like that. Run with your guys. Steve Nash is playing his guys. Bud was playing his guys last night, so kudos to him on that. I don't know if we can say much else positive about what Bud did last night, but he did play his guys last night, and that's encouraging because hopefully in Game 7, no more than 6 or 7 guys see the floor until garbage time.
Larry tweets in, has the Deer District siphoned some of the crazies who might normally attend the game in person? It's a great scene and a little cheaper. Maybe. The Deer District is so good for Milwaukee, and they're treating it like they treated the Jurassic Park area with Toronto. And when we say they, I mean the TV networks. Constantly showing that even at road games. And it just makes it look so much better. And it is such a good representation of our city. And I do think back to the Bradley Center days where they didn't have anywhere for you to go. And some of the bars, even on Old World Third at the time, like you still have to ask for the games to be on. There's a game across the street, you'd still have to ask for it to be on. It was on at like Major Goolsby's, and then that was it. So this is a much better... This is a much better layout for things than it was years ago, and I'm glad to see that dream become a reality. I got a tweet here. There was a loud cheer last night, Bart. You are being too hard on the crowd, .. although it was when they showed that Matt LaFleur was at the game. Yeah. LaFleur.
Bud, what's it like to have Packers coaches at the game? That's got to be pretty great.
Get to KJ in West Allis. Aloha.
Aloha, Bart. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Listen, I do disagree with Toby there. My biggest question was, where in the hell is Bobby Portis? I mean, Bobby Portis is an energy guy. He can give you just as much as Brooke Lopez has been giving the Bucks in this series so far. He can hit a three. He can rebound. He defends pretty well. He defends better than Brooke on the perimeter. And we need to scrape him somewhere off of Mel Carton. Drew Holiday needs to definitely be the facilitator and the guy driving to the basket, especially if he's got Harden on him. I mean, Harden is not going to defend anybody right now. So, you know, you got to get him going. You can't have him shooting 10 threes. He's kind of replaced Giannis last night, shooting threes and not hitting them. So I was encouraged, though, with not seeing Giannis shoot any threes. I was amazed by that. You know, that was a good sign. You know, he took it to the basket strong, and that's what he needs to do. And if they're not going to put Lopez down in the box, down low, then I don't even want to see him, really. I mean, because I see this scenario where Jeff Green is going to start hitting threes again because he's going to be back at home. Somebody, either him or Blake Griffin or somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, Harris, Landry Shamet.
Yeah, Landry Sandwich or whoever, you know, is going to start hitting threes. So they've got to ratchet up the defense, be as strong on defense as they were last night. They played a pretty good defensive game. They kept stealing the ball. Durant was making bad passes, losing the ball. So if they can do that, man, they got a good shot. You know, Middleton does not play as well on the road as he does at home. I mean, there's a stark difference, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. If he can, I mean, if he can give us 25 on Saturday, I would take that. You know, as long as Giannis can get his and Jrue Holiday can be the facilitator and the guy that's going to make plays.
Oh, absolutely. How do you feel about Game 7?
I think it's going to come down to one possession. I mean, it's going to come down to the end of the game. Who's going to make that big shot?
We'll win by a possession, or they'll kill us by 30.
Yeah, no, I don't see them killing us by 30. I don't.
Well, they're it's a KJ Aloha. Thanks for the call. They're fatigued, man. They are fatigued, and it is a battle of attrition. And Kevin Durant has had to do it all. And even last night, he's 15 for 30. I mean, him missing 15 shots, him only shooting 50%, like 50% is good, but him only shooting 50% is like a gift from the heavens. You thank goodness. You thank it so much. I mean, when he's missing shots, it's like, wow, that's a freebie. And then he missed 15 of them. So, yeah, Game 7 is going to be interesting. As far as the Bucks, so here's the thing with Lopez. He's a big guy that you can exploit defensively. He can make some shots from three, but I don't know if those are always the most well-advised shots. He shoots threes deeper than, like, Dame does. I mean, so if you're trying to think of, and the Nets have their version of that in DeAndre Jordan, not the three-point stuff, but a big guy that is a liability a little bit defensively. The Nets, they just adjusted right away and said, he's not playing in this series. We're not doing it. He can't stop Giannis. It's going to hurt us, so we're not doing it. We'll try this Claxton guy a little bit, but Giannis eats him up. So we'll go with Blake Griffin. That's what we'll do. And sometimes, you know, Kevin Durant will have to be kind of that guy, but we'll go with Blake Griffin. That's who we'll put essentially at the five. Okay, so the Bucks stay with Lopez, and then they have another guy that could come in. I think if you move Giannis and kind of play him as the center, find wherever Bobby Portis is, unless this is Bud Brilliance, and they are resting him for Game 7, because it's unexplainable, and Bud won't answer the question. Where's Portis? Well, he'll be ready when he's ready. I mean, he is ready. He's out taking shots last night. Afterwards, he's tweeting, hey, oh, you know, part of me thinks that the Bucks ownership is like, hey, he's got a player option. Can we try to get him to opt out of that? We don't want to pay it, so don't play him. Make him mad. And so Bud's like, oh, whatever, I don't care anyway. You're going to pay me whether I get fired or not. So I don't know where Portis is, but get Portis out there. Portis, Tucker, Middleton, Jrue, Giannis.
Yeah, I agree.
You make a starting five of that? Because that's the best option.
Absolutely. If you're going to play Giannis at the five, play Portis at the four. If you're going to play a guy like Brook Lopez, take him out and put in Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, but I don't think it's that simple for Bud.
No. I mean, but did Bud ever seem like there was one play where Nash, it looked like it was going to challenge a foul, and then Bud was like, ah, that was like the only time it seemed Bud was realizing that his job was on the line. That Rick Carlisle's on a plane to Milwaukee. I'm saying this as a joke, but maybe he's here, you know, to be hired the minute that Bud gets fired. Because if they lost last night, Bud, I don't think he would be fired by right this second, but he'd be fired by 8 o'clock this morning. I mean, we would be counting down the minutes, and we would be having a celebration.
Yeah, we'd be helping him move tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I won't. I don't even want to see that guy in person because we'd probably have cause a time vortex since we are, God. And then my wife last night is watching the game with us. She's like, yeah, you know, you do look like him. That's when it really got real. Because normally there's somebody I look like. She says, oh, no. But she, that's when it got real. Corey's on the south side, 414-799-1250. Bucks onto a game seven. What's up?
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Corey.
Yeah, it is a good morning. Happy Friday. Thanks for taking the call. It's actually life coach, Corey.
Oh, is that what you want to be?
No. You know what? I don't want to dub that phrase. You know what I mean? Because that guy was an idiot. All right, so.
Are you a life coach for real?
No, I'm a union iron worker. I'm not that low in the totem pole to be a life coach. So, but anyway, that guy was an idiot. So
that was like 7 weeks ago. But that was quite a call. That was already a legendary call. We had a life coach call in and just tear me apart.
Yeah, that was horrible. Still sorry for you. But check this out, man. The Bucks, they did what they had to do last night. It was either stay home or go to Brooklyn. And I kept saying, you guys want to stay home or you want to go to Brooklyn? They wanted to go to Brooklyn. Now, I think, like, the fans were, you know, you're saying they weren't loud or whatever. I don't know. I was at home. I didn't even want to be down at the game. I didn't want to go to the Pfizer to watch the game outside because I was kind of tense too, you know. But the Bucks did what they had to do. Now the same pressure that we had last night, the Brooklyn Nets have that same pressure. We both had the same pressure tonight because if we lose, we're out of it. You know what I mean? So there's added pressure to Brooklyn now, even though they're playing at home. You know, anything can happen in the playoffs. They gave us what the most dangerous thing is, sports is hope. They gave us that hope that, you know, maybe we can win a game seven. I think the Bucks need to do exactly what they did last night. I like the fact that Chris Middleton stepped up and had 38 points. Giannis had 30. Drew, he had 21. I mean, every time he took a three, though, I was like, no. He was in his shooting motion, and I was like, no, because he couldn't hit a three to save his life. But he's not going to do that every night, just like KD's not going to score 49 every night. So one thing I did really like, though, in the fourth quarter, and I don't know why they didn't do this earlier, when Tucker was guarding KD and they would run at high pick and roll, Giannis would step up on a switch, and KD pretty much didn't do a whole lot in the fourth quarter. Maybe he had a couple points, but he missed a bunch of shots last night in the fourth quarter, and I really like that they did that. So I want to see more of that. Maybe a little earlier in the third quarter, they should start doing that and bring that into the fourth quarter, because other than last night, the Bucks have been horrible in the third quarter. So I'd like to see that coming out of halftime maybe, or midway through the third quarter, and lead that into the fourth quarter. Coach Bud still sucks. I mean, he's just horrible, man. And even if they go on to win the NBA Finals, like you guys were saying the other day, man, let's just get him out of here.
Yeah, no, I know, that'd be great. Win the Finals, so, fire Bud.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm now I got that hope. Now I'm a little excited. I got the optimism. I'm going to be down there Saturday. I'm going to go watch the game outside, you know, be with the Bucks fans, cheer on and everything like that. I'm really excited about game seven. Hopefully I call back Monday with a Bucks win. And, hey, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals again. You guys have a happy Friday, good Friday, and you have a good weekend. And, hey, Bart, I love you, man.
So, hey, I love you.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, you too. Just a lot of love. 7:30 TNT on Saturday. Line movement. Bucks are now a 1-point favorite. Again, I don't know what is going on with Kyrie. We could see him come back, or we could not. You would think that if Harden did everything he could to get back for a pivotal game five, Kyrie may do the same, but if he can go. I mean, Harden, he's still limited, clearly. There was a play in transition where Harden got the steal, but then, you know, couldn't move it up the court as he would normally do. That is the hamstring. Kyrie with the ankle, I don't know. I don't know what he can do or what he can't do on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's risky because if you trot him out there and you got all three guys on the floor at the same time, at any given moment, you've got Kyrie and James Harden on the floor, and neither one is really close to 100%, and then they got to play defense against guys like Giannis and them. Not saying that the Bucks would take advantage of it, because they really haven't with Harden, but if there's two of those guys out there, you absolutely should be dominating them on the offensive end.
The Nets have shot 40% on uncontested threes in this series. The Bucks have shot 29% on uncontested threes. If there's one thing that you can kind of get a little hope for in game seven, these shots have to fall at some point. The Bucks are getting good looks. Holiday is getting good looks. Forbes is getting good looks. Now, Connaughton, I don't know. I don't know if Connaughton ever gets a good look. But then you say that, and then he makes a big three. And Lopez, I mean, he is shooting from the – what are you doing? Just way too deep. But at some point, the shots you would think would fall. This has been a historically, almost laughably low three-point per shooting series for the Bucks. Three-point percentage shooting series for the Bucks. So maybe, just maybe, the game that you're hoping for and waiting for Drew and Bryn, I mean, like, if that happened at the same time, that would be tremendous. Jay is in Waukesha. Jay, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I think the line is low, Bart. I really do. I think that, you know, after game five, we watched film. We saw what we did wrong. We made adjustments. And we're flat out, without Kyrie, I mean, Kyrie would be a difference maker, but without Kyrie, Blake Griffin has come back down to earth. Jeff Green started shooting last night the way Jeff Green shoots. And do you think in a game seven that Lopez, Connaughton, and Forbes are all going to be non-factors? I mean, I think besides Middleton, we were something like 3 for 25 from threes or whatever. I think that we realize that every superstar, every team at some point has their breakout moment, and this is going to be the Bucks' breakout moment. And so I feel really, really confident. I think that when you have a point guard like Drew, who has a much better IQ than Bledsoe, you go back, you get in the film room, you realize that you went too much ISO in the second half of game five, and last night you saw Giannis not settling. Giannis was in attack mode, and the ball kept moving for all four quarters. And as much as KD's a great player, and he is, my money says he's not going to be able to score 50 points in game seven. I thought we threw some doubles at him. I thought Giannis just taking a couple possessions on him defensively was a really good move. And as much as we want to bang on Bud, right, Bud was never the guy that would play his starters 40, 44 minutes in the playoffs. He's made that adjustment. He's made the adjustment of, again, putting Giannis on KD a couple possessions here and there to give KD a different look. And I feel really, really confident in game seven against them.
Appreciate the call. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Giannis, I mean, he might have got switched on him briefly, but he wasn't guarding KD.
Yeah, I mean, he got matched up with him a few times, but it wasn't anything. It wasn't like coming out of game five where he said, yeah, I accept that challenge. And then he comes out and he's guarding James Harden.
Yeah, I don't think Bud did a lot last night. I don't give him a lot of credit. Why would I? Where's Portis? They still play with like a lack of urgency for a while until Middleton took over in the third.
They did get a little bit there in the second half into that isolation style basketball, and that's kind of when the Nets got a little back into it, and then they kind of got back into an offense, and then in the fourth quarter they go on that 14-0 run to kind of close it out. If they can stay away from that isolation-style basketball and Giannis is still driving it to the hoop and not settling for mid-range jumpers and threes, then I don't see a reason the Bucks shouldn't have a really good shot to win this game. They've been better than the Nets 6 out of the last 8 quarters, and unfortunately Kevin Durant was otherworldly good in those 2 quarters that the Nets were better, but the Bucks have just looked better than the Nets the last 2 games, other than the second half of Game 5. I don't see a reason the Bucks shouldn't win this game, and this might be a little bit bold, but I don't see a reason they shouldn't win this game by 10+.
That's very bold. I'll say that's bold.
I don't see a reason that the Bucks don't come out. They looked way better last night, and you're gonna need.
There's one reason. It's not Bud either. There's one reason. It's Toby, we live in a state here where heartbreak is always around the corner.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there a reason that you're pessimistic on the Bucks for Game 7 other than that reason?
We'll talk about that coming up. I think that's a good question. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Bucks do advance to a Game 7. Like I said, all you need is a chip, a chair, and a prayer, and you're still in the tournament. Talking Bucks Nets with you guys coming up.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.